All right. Well, hey, everyone. Welcome to our Q&A call for February. I can't believe it's February already. February 17th, 2016. Sorry for the delay there. I was trying to get the recording started. I was having some trouble, so I had to reset some things. But let's go ahead and get started. And I guess just to kind of get the conversation going, I'll just ask for a volunteer if anyone wants to kind of give us an update of anything, anything good, positive that has happened since our last call in January. Any updates, any insights, anything you want to jump in and just share with the group? Just go ahead and raise your hand. And just as a reminder, to raise your hand, just tap star two on your telephone keypad. And I'll go ahead and unmute you. So if there are any volunteers, go for it. Here we go. Awesome. Annie, how are you?
I'm good, Ed. Thank you. How are you?
Doing well. Good to talk to you.
Yeah, so I have moved forward on two fronts. One is I got my infographic for my bait piece for my website back from the designer. She gave me two designs, and I really liked one. So she's making final changes to that. And I am doing a webinar next Wednesday on content marketing and filling your content marketing funnel for a national education company. So as part of my follow-up for that, I do the webinar for free, but then they give me the list of the people who attended. And so I'm going to be able to follow up the webinar with an email that has that PDF attached to it. So be able to add some follow-up value to the webinar.
Excellent. So, yeah, so you will all attendees or registrants will get a follow-up email with the infographic.
Right, and I wanted to ask your opinion on something. So I kind of want to, if I give it out for free, I mean, my intention for the piece is to collect email addresses on my website for people, give up their email so that they can get a copy of the PDF. So I was trying to think of what is a way that I could actually accomplish that goal in the follow-up email to the webinar saying, thank you for attending. Here is something that, you know, an infographic to kind of describe what we talked about today. If you would like to be added to my newsletter list, can I just do – I know they have to opt in, but can I do that in the same email?
Well, a couple of things. The first thing that you need to be mindful of is – so this is an association that's putting this together?
No, it's a data company.
A data company. Okay. So you just have to make sure that it doesn't feel like that company shared attendee information with you, like they gave you all their information, right? So because it's the data company, let's say ABC company is putting it together, you're the presenter. That follow-up email needs to come from ABC company, not from you.
Okay.
See what I'm saying? So yeah. To do it right, it needs to come from them, and they need to – and you could write it for them, but you need to have a conversation with them and say, hey, I hope you enjoyed Annie's webinar yesterday. She's put together this excellent infographic that will show you blah, 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 blah. You can to download it, you know, just go to this page, and that will take them to a landing page on your site where you can then capture their contact information. And on that landing page, that's when you can say, hey, you know, to download this, and then, you know, I'll also add you to my mailing list where I'll occasionally send you information on this topic. I mean, you could write something better than that. But, you know, that's where you can also tell them that you will stay in touch with value-added information if they also download this. Does that make sense?
Sure. Okay, so that's a little different than I was thinking about. But, you know, I get your point about it really, since they're the one that's hosting it, they should do the follow-up.
Yeah. Yeah, so, you know, and you just put yourself in their shoes, right? It would feel a little odd if you register for a webinar with, I don't know, let's say HubSpot, like, because you guys know HubSpot.
Uh-huh.
And the presenter is, you know, Mike Smith with ABC Company. And the next day you get an email from Mike Smith from ABC Company, even though you went to HubSpot's site to sign up. You got the invitation from HubSpot. And you like Mike, you know, he's a great presenter, but it just feels a little, not creepy, it just feels a little slimy or weird or not right.
Uh-huh.
You know, because you're wondering, gosh, did they just, like, go ahead and send Mike a database with all the attendee information? You know, especially when you look at every opt-in form or every registration page, it always says right under it, we will never, ever share, sell, or trade your information with anyone.
Right.
Right. So it goes against that, which is kind of the standard practice.
Okay.
So that would be, I think that's the most important thing. Again, I mean, you know, it's not that it's illegal or anything like that. It's just you really want to earn trust from day one.
Right.
And you don't want the data company to look bad either, you know, so.
Yeah, and I do think that, you know, most people, if they were interested in the content, would, you know, hit the link and come over and to download the PDF.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you're right. It's more respectful.
You're right. Now, the second thing is I think you're doing it the right way by not sending the by gating the content, by gating the infographic and not making it available without opting in.
Okay.
You will lose people. Let's say 100 people register for the webinar.
Uh-huh.
You'll get, you know, let's say a third or 40% opting in. To get the infographic, and you might say, "Oh man, I could have gotten 100% by just sending it to them." Yeah, but you wouldn't have gotten their contact information, right? You would have just given it to them,
right?
And then you have to rely on some of them taking that extra step to check you out, and then go to your site, and then get on your mailing list.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's good reinforcement. I wasn't planning on also getting a landing page done before next week, but.
I'm trying to think. What would be an easy way to do this? How were you going to do the opt-in if you didn't do it with a landing page?
Yeah, I was gonna have to create that, but I just hadn't really thought this part through. You know, I think I'm going to go with. I've totally lost track of the email program I selected. But I'm not sure if they have a landing page feature or not.
They might. Some of them do. I know for quick things, I've used lead pages in the past.
Yeah, I've heard of them. I haven't ever used anything.
The problem
but
with lead pages is a monthly
create a
service.
So you can create a page quickly and then load it onto your site?
Well, with lead pages, you have that option, or you could create it on their site. So it's like it's a very fast and efficient web page creator.
So that
like
would
this.
Be that could be a good short-term solution.
It is. The only downside of lead pages is it's a monthly service, like $67 a month.
Wow.
So, you know, for little things like this, if you're going to do things repeatedly, it can be worth your while because I know I've played with it for a long time. I would create my own landing pages, but I had several that I would do in the course of a year. I'm getting away from that now.
Uh-huh.
But, yeah, so it may not be a viable option for you. You might be better. I would check with your email provider first to see if they have that option.
Okay.
An easy way to create a landing page. If not, is your site in WordPress?
Yes.
You might be able to create something very simple. You still need the opt-in form code from your email service provider, but that's easy. And, I mean, listen, if it were me and if it were next week, if my email service provider didn't have a landing page creator, then I would find someone very quickly on Elance or Upwork to create a landing page on my site.
Well, I actually have my web guy is he probably could do it.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, he's in his 70s, but he's, you know, he creates websites all day long, so.
Oh, perfect. Perfect. And give
I found him on Twitter.
Oh, wow. Wow, well, give him an example of what you're looking for.
Uh-huh.
You know, I mentioned HubSpot earlier. They do a great job with landing pages. You could go show them an example. Look, I want something like this, right? So it shows the infographic, thumbnail of the infographic, or the infographic blurred out here in the top left corner of the page. Then I want the headline to the right of it with the title, and then I want the copy here that describes what the infographic is about, what the benefits are of downloading it, and then the download form, the opt-in form below that.
Uh-huh.
And then a button below that, you know, download free now.
I certainly have
like
my
that.
Work cut out for me.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I know it sounds like a lot. It's really not. It's
okay.
Really not bad, and especially if you got a web guy. But this is the way to do it, and then you avoid all those problems, and you do it right from day one. You know.
Okay.
And you make sure that the client doesn't look bad.
Well, you know, this is something that I've wanted to do for a really, really long time, so I'm excited that it's finally happening.
Excellent. Hey, well, congrats. Can't wait to hear. Please update us next week when you've gone through it. Let us know how it went.
Okay, I sure will. Thanks, Ed.
Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome. All right. Let's see. Jay. Hey, Jay. You are on.
Hey there. I just was probably, excuse me, mute at this point, but I was just going to say that there's a lot of free plugins for WordPress sites for landing pages. If you don't need something too customized, a lot of them work really well.
That's a really good point. Yeah. Yeah, so Annie, that's another one to look into. And basically you will have kind of the different layouts, and it's just kind of dragging things around. Even then, though, I would still engage a web guy, because if you're down to just a week, you know, it might be easier to just get someone working on that while you finalize your stuff. Yeah, that's a great point, Jay. All right. All right, so let's just open it up for any questions, any updates from anyone. I'm curious to see what you've been working on, implementing, any feedback from the field, you know, where you might be getting stuck, anything, really anything goes here, as you guys know. No one wants to go first. There we go. All right. Lauren, you are on.
Hi.
How are you?
Good.
How are you doing?
I'm doing all right. Since we were kind of at a lull, I thought I would chime in here with a recent sort of thing that happened with a client. This was a situation where I had gone into a project with a PR strategist, and she included me on her proposal, and I was, of course, on there for content delivery. So there were kind of a menu of content items that were included in this proposal, and press releases were one of them, white papers were another. And I had given her a range for the press release, and I haven't written a press release in quite a while, and I understand that the rates on those tend to be a little bit lower, but I had quoted her $800 to $1,200 per release, and she and I were working with this client for a month, and then it was time to invoice for the work we had done, and I had written three of them. Honestly, this client was fairly demanding. They were wanting really fast turnaround on these, like less than a week even though I had proposed 1 to 2 weeks per deliverable. So I sent her an invoice for $3,000 because I had written three of these things, and I said they were going to be $1,000 a piece. And she came back to me and said, well, I'm going to be honest with you, Lauren, no writer I've ever worked with has ever charged that much for a press release before. And I just sort of let that comment hang in the air, and I was just like, okay, I'm okay with that. So she, without saying in so many words, she basically said, if I get pushback from this client, I need to understand why you're charging so much. You know, what's your reasoning behind this? Blah, you know. And I basically told her, I said, you know, the turnaround times are very quick. This client is hard to follow up with. It's hard to get the information that I need from them. They're disorganized. So I said that all equates to a lot of time on my end. So that's reflected in my price. And she said, okay. So she hands the invoice to the client. And there were some conversations happening that I was not aware of or part of. And essentially, the client responded to her questions and her sort of presentation of this invoice and the fact that they had asked for three press releases during the month instead of two, which was in the proposal. And the client's response was basically, I need these press releases. I want them when I want them. If you need to hire more writers, do it. If you need more money, that's fine, but I want this done. Are you a team player or not, basically? Which kind of knocked her back on her heels, I think, a little bit. But I was a little bit proud of being able to assess the situation and realize that this was, you know, there was some urgency on the part of the client, and price really wasn't a driving factor. It was, can you deliver what I want when I want it? I came away feeling pretty good about how I handled it, and I really it was because of this class and you know, some of the lessons that we've gone through so far that helped me kind of assess the situation and also feel good about you know, what I was proposing for my price. I mean, I've never charged that much for a press release before. I've never charged that much for, I don't know, a lot of things before, but I just felt like that was appropriate for this situation, and it turns out that it absolutely was. And so I felt good about it. And it's, you know, and this project's been going on. So they're wanting, you know, press releases. I don't know. We've basically signed up to work with them for the next year. So, you know, they keep coming, and the fact that I've established this rate now is great, because if I had said, oh, well, I'll do it for 800, it would have been very difficult to change that to 1,000, you know, next month. So it was kind of like,
oh, yeah,
I had one chance to establish my price and assess the situation based on, you know, what this client had been, how easy it was to work with them and what the experience had been like for the month prior, and sort of use that to say, okay, if this is what I can expect for the next 11 months, this is what it's going to take for me to not get really fed up with this client and to feel like I'm wasting a lot of time, or, you know, expending a lot of time on something that I'm not getting compensated for. So I thought that was cool. It's funny, a client can be a real pain, but if they pay me enough, I can get over that. You know?
Yeah, right. A little bit extra money goes a long way.
Yes.
That's excellent. So, and I'm curious to make sure I understand. So, you quoted a range from the very beginning, right? You had told them 800 to 1200.
Yeah.
And there were no questions then. Only when you went ahead and invoiced the first three did your direct client question the fee.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, because she was saying that, oh, well, you had said that these were going to be 500 words, and just, you know, the last three press releases you wrote, they weren't 500, they were 300 or however many words they were. And I said, that's fine. I'm not basing this on word count. I'm basing this on effort and time. And I said, you understand that writing 500 words can take you 15 minutes or it can take you 3 hours, depending on if you have the information that you need to produce the content.
Yeah,
and, you know, and so, and she was involved with the emails and the back and forth with this client, and she understood perfectly that they were not the easiest to work with, and but still felt like she needed to understand where I was arriving at that price. And it just, I think, just surprised her because she'd never worked with a writer that had charged that much before. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, the good thing here is that you did it right in that you gave her this range from the very beginning. So I think it would have been very awkward if you had never quoted this. Like, this has happened to me before. Where, you know, a project where the client just told me, I need this, go ahead and just get started on it. And I did it, and then I billed her for it, and she was shocked at the price, right? But
mm-hmm.
she never asked me. And she just had something different in mind. She had no idea what it takes to do that kind of work and yada, yada. So, but in this case, it shouldn't have been a huge surprise because he had already given this person the range, but
right.
I'm glad you stood by it, because the last thing you want to do is say, oh, okay, well, I'll bring it down to 500 then, you know?
Yeah.
So, like that
yeah.
really will backfire at that point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, excellent. Okay, glad to hear that. Way to go.
Thanks.
Way to go. All right. Okay, I got Denver, and I think this is Cara. Is this you, Cara?
Good morning, Ed, and everyone. Yes. Well,
good morning.
Good morning. Yes. I'm well.
Excellent.
And I just you all just inspire me and get me going. So thanks for this call. It came at
yeah.
a good time. Yeah.
Agreed.
So little update. Ed, I haven't sent you the link, but I'll share it with everyone on Facebook today. My website is now up. Yay. And that's exciting. That's been, how many months has this been going on? A long time.
But it's up. It's there.
It's up. It's actually not, I'll send you the absolute link, because my website link is actually going to my blog right now while I was working on it in the back end, but it is up. So that's good. And kind of funny, I am my web designer because I'm using a Joomla template that my host uses a lot of Joomla, and he used to be a database guy, so he gets all that. And I'm like, okay. So it's a whole new template and new content. And I looked at it this morning and kind of went, and that took, how long did that take? I mean, you know, you look at something and go, really? That took, you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's up there, and I would love people's feedback, and just take a look when you get a chance. And then other little update, I had asked some of you, and you were all kind enough to respond on Facebook, about the opportunity I'd been given to maybe get a permanent position with that company that I do a lot of work for.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a conversation with them, and they really put it in my court and said, well, give us a proposal. What do you think? You know, and I didn't even do the proposal, because in the interim couple days, I realized this isn't where my path is. I want to be doing my own business and not be beholden to one company all the time, even if it's, you know, part-time or something. So I very kindly had a nice chat with him and said that I have other clients and all that, which is true. And it was very interesting. He said, well, I think we could make it worth your while and still have you and still allow you the time to serve your other clients. I'm like, well, that's interesting. So I have not pursued that, but I may, just to see what's in his mind. But that ended up really well, and thanks for everyone's thoughts and suggestions on how to deal with that as well. So that's it. I haven't done any prospecting yet, but now that I have a website up, I'm ready to do that.
Excellent. And did you say that you're posting the link today to your
site?
I will.
Okay. Perfect. On Facebook, yeah. I will do that today.
Great. Yeah, see, now you'll have no excuse. Now you got a prospect.
Exactly. And that's good.
Yes.
Thank you.
Awesome. Hey, congrats on getting it out there. I know how cathartic that is, just to finally put it up there.
Yeah, truly. Truly.
All right. Well, thanks for the update, Cara. And by the way, guys, I've been out of town on a little break for the last 5 days. So I'm just now today kind of getting caught up. I got back in last night and I haven't been to the forum. So if it feels like I've been absent, I have been absent over the past 5 days. I'll get back into it here this afternoon. And if there are any open questions or request for feedback, I will, of course, chime in. Okay, let's see. Lisa, you are on. How are you?
I'm fine. I don't have any major questions, but things have been going very well. So just, you know, in terms of, you know, hope, communicating hope, I now need to be disciplined to keep prospecting so that I don't have what always happens, which is getting so busy that I think, okay, now I'm fine for a few months. I don't have to do anything, and then nothing happens.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, primarily, you know, one of the nice things was this one client, and the reason I was so slow this fall was I had a client that is a major independent physicians group in Oregon, and they thought they'd have a lot of website work for me starting last August, and then it was pulled, or she said she didn't have it. So I checked in with her maybe 2 weeks ago, and she admitted that she'd worked with some editor who said she was a website writer but didn't know anything. I think she thought I was too expensive, so she went somewhere else. And she said, would you mind doing this website for me? So she sent the copy, which was literally someone had edited the crappy copy from, you know, their 1999 website or whatever, you know, that didn't even read like a good brochure. I think she probably edited a few words here and there or commas, or I don't know what she did. I didn't even look at it past the first page. But at any rate, as I talked to her about, you know, what needed to be done from a marketing perspective, then all of a sudden two more websites came in, and she said, you're my website person now. I realize you know so much more.
Mm-hmm.
So that was really nice. So originally she had some brochures for me too, but she pulled those because she wants me to just focus on websites. But it's because of the fact it was an existing client, it's hourly. Mm-hmm. It's not bad in that the last website I did for her was like 6,000, so it's, you know, it's decent work.
Yeah.
But it's still at $85 an hour, so I do, and I'm sure several of us do, pad our hours a little bit to get to where we want to go, which is not quite cheating, but when I feel like, okay, I'm giving value added, this is worth an hour and a half instead of an hour.
Yeah.
So, or something where, you know, someone else would struggle. So, you know, it ends up being lucrative enough. And then I have this other client that came to me for healthcare because they wanted, they're a online reputation management company, and they wanted to send something out to a landing page and email and ebook for the healthcare audience. But since then, have decided they also need to go after all these other vertical markets. So I'm working with them, and that's led to another case study. And so that's been very lucrative, and they're excited to have found me. So I'm hoping that will be ongoing client. And then I have a couple of others that through prospecting have, I don't know if they'll pan out. One's a medical device company, and I sent them some price ranges and didn't hear back, so maybe it's higher than they thought, or maybe they're just busy. And another one I'm supposed to hit probably next week to check in with. I told her I'd check in at the end of February. And now I'm at that point where, oh, and I did get a blog post out too, and I was happy I had 29 or 30 views on LinkedIn.
Oh, good.
And several likes, so that's my first. So
meaning, so it's posted on your site, but you went ahead and linked to it on LinkedIn.
Yeah, I didn't.
Did you
I
upload it to LinkedIn?
Yeah, I just posted it on Pulse. And then I posted it on Medium too, but I got no views on Medium. So I suspect it's pretty hard. That's a harder place to get coverage because, you know, I don't have that many followers there.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that's giving me hope that, you know, as opposed to putting it on a website where you think, well, maybe one person, like, you know, my grandmother, actually she isn't still alive, but, you know, the person in your life that has to be nice and check your website.
Uh-huh, yeah.
You know, that you don't get that much traffic, and I think that's why it can be really kind of frustrating to spend time on a blog where no one ever goes. So I will say doing something on Pulse, I mean, you get this feedback, and it's like, oh, this actually gives me a reason to keep blogging. So I just have to find time to do that. And I think I promised that I would do three at least by the time we next talk, so I have to get really busy.
Okay.
But I have one written. So, yeah, so things are going really well.
Oh, excellent, excellent. So I got a question for you. Back to what you mentioned earlier regarding the, you know, the prospecting, making it a habit. So what are you doing to kind of get that habit going?
Well, I'm telling myself I should do it first thing in the morning, but then I get sidetracked. So I am not a very disciplined person.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I'm very disciplined. You know, I sit down at the computer planning on doing that, but then I'll open email and decide, oh, I really do have to respond to this client. And then I think, well, you know, I should be making money, so I'm going to start working on this project. So that's where I fall apart.
Gotcha.
I think I need to set a time, as you said before, that is scheduled in as if it was an appointment and do it.
Yeah, and the first thing in the morning works really well, but like you've already identified, the moment you start doing something else, like looking at email, your chances of doing what you set out to do go down dramatically.
Yeah.
So my advice there would be to, you know, if you have a morning routine, like let's say you do yoga or you meditate or you journal and all that, of course, do that before you even look at your computer. And then instead of going to your computer, go straight into the activity that you've already designated, and that's actually the other thing I should have mentioned first. Always identify that activity the day before. So and then the third thing would be to, at first, until it actually does become a habit, make it a micro action. So, you know, identify something, for instance, tomorrow, and tell yourself only 30 minutes. So from 8:30 to 9, that's my time for prospecting work, and all I'm going to do spend 30 minutes going through this publication looking for potential prospects. That's it. And I'm going to set a timer. And know you're doing that the day before and it's already in your planner. That way you're done with your morning routine and then you know the next thing is going to be your prospecting, you know, half hour of prospecting, and you already know exactly what that is you're going to do.
Yeah. No, I think that's a good idea. Email is really my track. And I'm getting better. I mean, I generally think I have to look at it every 15 minutes practically because I want to respond to clients right away. But that came out of this really slow period where I think it was like hopeful. I kept checking email to see
if
they wanted me. And so I've gotten into that habit. So I think that, you know, the past few days when I've been busy, I've gone 4 or 5 hours writing without looking at it and realizing the world didn't fall apart because I didn't respond. So now I'm
And listen, you're not alone. I mean, it is like that whole, I remember I can trace it back to college, you know, before email, I would check my P.O. box in my dorm building like, you know, 3 times a day because I just wanted somebody to write me a letter, you know.
Right? Exactly.
So I can trace it back to that. But it might, as silly as it sounds, it might require you at first to install some sort of app blocker that will keep you from launching email up until a certain time. There's several out there, and I haven't written down, but basically up until 9:30 in the morning, you can't open certain applications. It won't let you. You could override it, but nobody. That's not the point. The point is to override it. You have to go through so many steps that it's just not worth it. And in the process, you'll think twice.
Yeah, I have an app like that that makes me get up every 40 minutes and, freezes the screen for as many seconds as I say. So.
There you go. Yeah.
Freezing the email makes sense. Okay, good.
Yeah.
Good. So I will get on that, and I just have to be more disciplined. And I think having work makes me more disciplined. The more organized I get. It's having those hours free where I start getting distracted.
So. Good. Well, good stuff. And thanks for the update. This is excited that things are starting to develop for you.
Absolutely. So am I. So thank you.
All right. All right, guys. So, again, if you got a question, you need feedback from me, from the group, anything you want to talk through, *2 on your telephone keypad will raise your hand, and I'll go ahead and get you unmuted. All right. Let's see. Hey, Patricia, how are you?
I'm doing, I guess, okay. I'm knocking on wood and hoping my computer doesn't crap out on me again. Since last Thursday, I've had random problems with my computer, and it's been less than fun. I hate the IT department. Yeah, well, it was one of those things. I'd be working, and my computer would just shut itself down. I mean, didn't matter what I was doing. Yeah, so we've been hardware, software, trying to isolate the problem. That's me knocking on wood. I think we finally have figured it out. But it was, anybody, and you've all been through it, so you can all know what it takes. Even though I'm a maniac about backing everything up, once you initialize your hard drive and have to start over reinstalling software, it's a process. So, I spent Valentine's Day trying to get my computer working. Yay, go me.
How romantic. I love it.
Listen, question that I have for everybody is I'm looking for a good app that will let me create text-based videos. Everybody's seen them for marketing and things like that where they're less about the visuals and more about text moving around and I'm looking for a good, I could spend a lot of time online, but I think if anybody had a good thought on this, I'm looking for something fairly low cost. There's some that are out there that are, $80, $90, $100 a month, and that's not where I'm at right now in terms of the what I want to spend. So if anybody has a good app that they're using to create videos, I would appreciate a nod in that direction.
I'm waiting for others to, if anyone wants to raise their hand and know of anything, I found one. Hold on, of course, it's got, I meant to look into it. It's a one-time, from what I could tell, it's a one-time fee, so it's not a service model.
Yep.
And it's called EasyVSL, as in video sales letter. EasyVSL.com.
Okay.
And you'll see it there. I've been meaning to look into it. I haven't even looked at this landing page. I just saw the email promos for it, and at the time, I just wasn't looking for something. But obviously, many of these are used in video sales letters, but they could be easily used for any purpose where you want more text than anything else.
Great. I'll take a look at it. My two things that I've accomplished this week is my book is almost done. I've kind of started siloing it out based on recommendations from a couple members in the group. I've kind of broken it down a little bit and taken the meat of the B2B storytelling and created one piece, and then I parceled some of the other pieces out into more siloed books, so it would be B2B storytelling for salespeople, B2B storytelling for marketing. But I've got the cover done for the book, so I'm very excited about that. I finally, this morning, approved the cover design. So I'm pumped about getting the book done. I did some research on Kindle, and I have got my Kindle account set up for publishing. I have my, I've got installed a Kindle app so that I can do some research in terms of keyword marketing for the book. I'm very excited about that. So I feel like I'm moving forward with that part of my life. Now if I can get my blankety-blank computer fixed, I can finish getting my website done.
Well, hey, that's congrats. That's exciting. And just so everyone understands, so you're publishing this Kindle as a lead-generating vehicle and a thought leadership vehicle?
Correct. Yeah, okay. That's what I'm doing is I'm going to base it on the model of create what a lot of successful Kindle publishers have done. They create one or two or, a few base books that are free, and then you create the add-ons that are, depending on how you price them, marketing size, all that stuff, but you create the add-on books as not free. You can offer them as a freebie, occasionally, but for the most part, what I really want to focus on is creating a Kindle stream of income, and that's what I really want to have, at least a good chunk of my income coming from Kindle sales at some point.
Okay. Good stuff. And, of course, it could have the unintended consequence of bringing some prospects your way to turn into clients.
Exactly. That's what the thought leadership piece is coming, because I'm building my whole brand around B2B story selling. That's the piece that I feel really good about, because I know I can take all of my experience as a web designer, as a marketer, as a writer, as a journalist, and as I say, I kind of throw it into the blender, and I can look at a storyline and say, okay, I can take the visuals that I would have placed on a web page, I can take those visuals and translate them into PowerPoint, into a video, into a lot of different multimedia things. You can take that same information and spin it into a white paper. Take that piece, use it as an ebook. So what I really want to do is get into the heart of taking the idea that you craft a story that's primary purpose is to engage, convert, and sell. And once you have those pieces in place, then you can spin it off and kind of mind map it into different directions so that you can take that same content and use it to tell a core story in a way that reaches the ideal client, the ideal reader.
Oh, great. Yeah, that sounds excellent. I love that.
Yeah, I feel really good about where I am right now. Now I just need to get off my chair and start getting more prospecting done.
Well, you said it, so.
Yeah, I know.
No pressure.
I know. Well, actually, yeah, there is. I have a deadline to meet for Friday, so yes, I will be. I have a self-imposed deadline for Friday that I have to have some things done by. So it's all good.
Well, good luck with the computer. Hopefully, that's done and you can get going.
That would be really good. Even though it proved to me that my backup systems were, really good. I didn't lose any files between the cloud and between my Carbonite. I didn't lose any files, but it's just a pain in the butt to have to try to recreate your system because it's there's so many apps and things that you install on a system that you don't back up. You have to reinstall. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'll be very happy when I'm back to normal. I'm 80%, 90% of the way there.
All right. Well, thanks for the update, Patricia. Good luck. And keep us posted on the Kindles, your first Kindle book once you have it up there.
I will.
All right. Let's see. I don't see any raised hands right now. But again, guys, there's no theme here. Just any questions, thoughts, anything you'd like to get feedback on, anything you want to report, anywhere you're getting stuck, where you kind of need to talk through and get some feedback from me and from the group. It's all fair game. Right. Let's see. Jay. Hey, Jay. You're on.
Hi there. Hi there. I don't have anything much, but I had a pricing strategy this week that worked really well, and I thought I'd share it. A prospect asked for blogs. I don't like writing blogs. I'd rather do long form, but, you know, getting in the door is great for that, and plus a lot of people want blogs. So normally I offer them on a monthly package, and rarely am I taken up on them because I think the price is higher than they want to pay. So knowing that this particular customer was cost sensitive, I made them that offer, and they wanted to move forward because they liked my portfolio, but they didn't really have the budget for it. So instead I offered them the alternative of a package of 5 blogs, and at the end of when they're done, I would turn them into an ebook. And the price was more similar to my ebook pricing than my blog pricing. Mm-hmm. And they went for it. So that was good. So I've got their invoice.
Oh wow. I love that. What a creative way to offer this. And how did you come up with the whole ebook thing? Could you tell that they were going to be more receptive to that, or had they mentioned that as something they wanted to do at some point?
I don't remember if they'd mentioned it. I mean, I knew that they needed more content. So I knew that they were receptive to other kinds of content, yes.
Mm-hmm. So great example, guys, of packaging something in a way that kind of muddies up the whole per-unit pricing, right? So kind of level one of packaging is, you know, it's X amount for – you know, one unit. Most people, when they package, a package of 5 for 5X or 4X, depending, you know, if you want to offer some sort. But, you know, you're still getting caught in this trap of unit pricing, right? So by doing it the way Jay's done it, it's 5, but then I'll also convert it to an ebook, and you've bundled it in a way that's very hard to determine the unit pricing. And you're focusing on the value. You're helping your client focus on the value rather than how much you're paying per blog post. That's excellent. Great idea. Good stuff. Hey, congrats, Jay.
Thanks.
Yeah, there's just, you know, so many ways to price this stuff creatively, packaging, offering tiers. You know, we've talked about several of these approaches. Especially if you can have a conversation with that prospect and understand what's important to them or what they want to accomplish. And if you can get into a conversation, you can offer different things like this that make sense. So that's why one more reason why it's so important to have some real dialogue and not try to do this over email, because you're guessing if it's over email. You lose so much. All right. Hey, Patricia, you are back on.
Yeah. Hey, Jay. I don't know who you're using for your Kindle book cover, but I'll post the woman that I used. I found her on Fiverr. She's really good, very responsive. But maybe you could post the individual that you use if they're open to additional clients. I'm always looking, you know, I'd like to be able to see who's out there.
Super. And, Jay, I unmuted you, too.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah, and I'm curious, Patricia, what did you end up paying? Would you mind sharing for the cover?
Yeah, $40.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Yeah, she's the top-ranked, or one of the top-ranked Kindle book cover publishers on Fiverr.
Wow, that's excellent. Did I tell you about that service, too? the Kindle publishing service?
Yes. I looked up. I've got them. They're on my. As soon as I get the book done, I will use them. They're like digital to something or digital to print or something.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. That's the one. Yep. Because they've got they're great because they get you the ISBN number, which is what you need if you're going to print it.
Yeah, and it's free, which is crazy.
Yeah. Right.
All right.
Yeah, I looked them up, they're on my Rolodex of people to use.
Okay. Super. Let's see, Cara.
Hey guys.
You're on. Hello.
Yeah. Hello. I've been not on Facebook lately, so the Kindle publisher that you just mentioned might be out there. But if you wouldn't mind sharing that as well, I'd be interested in that.
Yeah. So what it is, and let me look them up here real quick. Kindle, and this is it's Draft 2 Digital, numerical 2. So draft2digital.com.
Okay.
We're actually – I'm in the middle of publishing a Kindle book as well, as with a very specific purpose. It's a lead generation tool. I'm going to offer it for free on the Kindle store. And so we're testing them right now because it almost feels too good to be true. The way they make their money, so they format everything for you. Basically, you send them the Word document. They do all the work. They even get you the ISBN number. Of course, you got to send them the cover that you want. But they do everything for you so that it's ready to go, and then you just have to take it and upload it to Kindle, to your Kindle account or to your Amazon
create space
or whatever. So I actually left this before I left town with Brenda here from my team, and I need to get an update to see where things stand. But the way they make their money, they do all this for free, and then they take 15% of your sales. In my case, I'm selling it. It's free, and they don't mind that. They understand that some people will do that, and they're totally fine.
Okay.
But it's an amazing service because before you used to have to hire a couple of different people to get all those things done.
Yeah. Right. Okay.
So something to keep in mind, you know, if anything, just a kind of in your resource directory. If you ever work with a client who wants to publish a Kindle book, it's just nice to be able to bring that to the table and save them a lot of time and money, and you'll look like a hero, or you'll be a hero.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Nice.
Yeah, and we never posted it, by the way, on Facebook. It was just a conversation that Patricia and I had in one of our monthly calls. So.
Yeah, that's cool. And I'm the same way. I'd love to get some things out there. I know several people on this group have some nice Kindle e-books, and I think that's a great thing to do for whatever reason.
Yeah, you know what? If anything, I know it sounds overwhelming sometimes, even though we're all writers. Gosh, you could repurpose a lot of what you have. And this is one of the hidden benefits of having a blog or a newsletter. It forces you to create content. And then after a while, you'll have enough curated content that you could assemble a short ebook. These don't have to be big, you know, 40, 50 pages, finished format. That's, you know, maybe 15, 20 pages in Microsoft Word.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's what I did with mine. I'm repurposing. It's on warm email prospecting. I'm repurposing a lot of the content that I had on that. And I hired someone to kind of stitch it together for me.
Yeah.
And, yeah. Got a cover designed, and it's another great way to repurpose content. And then you put it out there in Amazon. The great thing about Amazon, it's a massive search engine. You're exposing your content to people who would have usually or ordinarily not have found you.
Yes, true.
So
yeah.
You want it to be very specific in terms of the content so that it attracts the right kind of prospects. So certainly not one of those top tier strategies that we've talked about. It's more of a secondary idea to experiment with. I wouldn't abandon warm email prospecting and some of these other things we talked about, but it could be it could be an effective inbound marketing strategy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. That's very cool.
All right. Lisa, you are on.
Yeah, I was just going to, I mean, you sort of answered the question, but I was going to ask how valuable e-booklets for our own self-promotion really are, given how much noise is out there already, and whether or not it has to be truly unique in terms of new information, like research we've done or something, or if you think there still is, you know, a big sales value in terms of the amount of time it takes. I did something about 6-7 years ago, and I think I maybe, and I thought, okay, this will build a mailing list, and, you know, I tweeted it and put it on LinkedIn and everything, but I probably had one download on it. I just never, you know, I never could build enough interest. So, you know, if there's some magic formula to getting these things actually seen. I mean, HubSpot and places like that that do such a great job covering a lot of the topics we cover, you know, are such competitors. I'm just wondering, you know, what do you have to really do to get that buzz, you know, make it a true buzz piece?
Well, I think the two things that I would say even before you get down to the more tactical advice, which is it has to be specific, right, or it has to have, you know, kind of that unique or different hook. Like in Patricia's case, you know, the storytelling angle, but the way she's talking about it, because storytelling is becoming overly popular right now in marketing. So the way she talks about it is a little different. So that's number one. Like, you know, just having something on generic, you know, content marketing, for instance, that's just too broad. So specificity is important. The second thing is, and this is huge, is having the right expectations. So this is why I say don't abandon your other efforts in pursuit of something like this, because this sounds like a lot of fun, but it's certainly no replacement for some of the other strategies we've talked about where you're knocking on doors. That's much more reliable. It's much more under your control. So if you do something like this, I would do it. You know, it's almost like the Maslow hierarchy of needs. You remember that from school?
Yeah.
It's like, yeah. You know, you need to be able to take care of food and shelter first. So translating it to what we're doing, you need to be in the habit of having this prospecting machine in place. You're nurturing longer-term prospects. You're doing a lot of the, you know, block and tackle stuff. And then once you have that under control, you could look at things like this. You know, so that's the higher levels of the pyramid. So, you know, food and shelter, and I forget what the other ones are, but you can't self-actualize until you've done some of these other things because it's just going to fall apart. And then the third thing is, and I remember we talked about this, Lisa, but it just reminded me that I'm going to share a resource with you guys that's going to help you, or I hope it will, is, you know, letting go of this idea that it has to be, you know, mind-blowing information or new research or something totally unique or anything like that, because it's very, very difficult to do that, number one. And number two, that's not what's expected. What you're hoping to do with a strategy like that is for someone to just kind of get a sense for how you think and what you're like and how you work, and you just kind of get a sense for you as a person and as a marketer, as a writer, et cetera. So, you know, you don't have to, you know, this doesn't have to be a Malcolm Gladwell essay, right? If you strive for that, you'll never get it out the door because it'll never be good enough. It needs to be good enough to, and think about it, put yourself in somebody else's shoes. Like, how many times have you read something that wasn't revolutionary, but because you were so kind of lost in this sea of overwhelm, and they just took what's already out there, but they simplified it for you, or they maybe presented it a little differently, and you are so grateful for that. You know, you're like, wow, you know, this is either a great refresher or a great reminder or a better way of explaining something that I'm a little confused about or overwhelmed about. It's not revolutionary, but it's just so it's fresh or it's succinct or whatever. So that can work very well, too. I try to do that many times with concepts and ideas and strategies that have been out for a long time, but it's like we're all so crazily overwhelmed that, okay, let's get back to basics. You know, here's really, when you look at it, here's the process. And those are the posts or the podcasts that people write back and say, oh, my gosh, this is so helpful. You know, I didn't introduce anything new necessarily. I just kind of distilled it to its core essence in some cases. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I mean, in terms of distilling, then, I've read a lot about the fact that e-books are kind of on the way out and two-pagers, you know, are actually more helpful in that respect. So I'm curious about that, if, you know, distilling it down to something someone can read. I notice in Medium now they actually tell you how long things are going to take to read. And I do find if it's under 3 minutes, I'll open it and read it. If it's longer, it's like, I'll do that later, but you never remember to. So
it's like an investment portfolio, right? It's like, you know, you can't just build it on small cap stocks, right? So you need to diversify a little bit. So you're right. You do need some lead magnets that are short, like a one-page checklist. You know, that infographic that Annie's working on. So you have some of that. The ebook does something differently. It's for a different audience at a different time for a different purpose. It's more of a thought leadership. You know, or you say, yeah, but people aren't going to read it. That's not the point. You know, the point is you put something out there that was a little meatier, and even if somebody just kind of scrolls through it or skims it, that's fine. Plus, it's got, I mean, even today, it still has that feel of, you know, this person's an author, right? So if you do it right, if you make it look very professional, if it's well thought out and all those things, then it's not going to feel like something you put together in an afternoon. It's going to feel authoritative.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So it gives you the authority that a two-pager wouldn't give you necessarily, you know?
Okay. So it's more a feeling than whether or not anyone reads it cover to cover.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly, yeah. It's so, you know, again, something to think about. But the big thing out of all the ones I mentioned is that don't jump on this and then avoid the other things. I think you're better off doing these other things, and then once you're at a point where you can consider something like this. In fact, I'd prefer if you only consider it once you have content you can repurpose. And not try to come up with something brand new, totally from
mm-hmm.
scratch.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, that's actually what I'm doing. I mean, so I'm going to test this ebook, and if it works well, I got a couple other ideas, but they're all going to be repurposed content for the most part, like 80% repurposed, and then the other 20%, you know, will be new. But, yeah. Yeah, so it's you know, content marketing strategy, really. It's it can't be one-dimensional. It's got to be multifaceted. But that takes time, guys, because, you know, we're all one-person businesses. Then again, you know, you could at that point you can do some of the things that I've tried. Like, you could hire somebody else to work on this. You say, yeah, but I'm a writer. I should be doing it. Well, you know, if you're busy with client work, you can hire someone to help you. For very little. I mean, I paid someone, I want to say it was $300 to take the raw content, stitch it together, edit it. Then I paid a proofreader, $100. And, you know, that just saved me so much time that I could focus on higher value activities. And it got done faster. So something else to think about.
Okay. Good.
Cool. All right. All right, let's see. Annie, you're on.
I have a particular question mm-hmm. about the session 8 where you're talking about a bundled package and you've got like all these deliverables listed, and the number for the year, and then it's about retainer agreements.
Okay. Okay.
But I had my question is about when I'm looking at this list, abstract, blog post, executive brief, bylined article. What do you mean by abstract, and how would that be used? I mean, is it like a I write abstracts for the magazine, but I'm not sure how it would be done or used for a client.
Okay, so in this example, what it was is my client, so they had someone who was kind of their idea guy, and he's very good at this. Could always come up with a bunch of ideas for different topics that we could write content on. And what I try to do is just capture as many of these ideas as possible, knowing that we might use 20% of them.
Mm-hmm.
But I have to flesh them out a little bit because they're all in his head. So I have to find a vehicle to get him out of his head. And because I knew that we wouldn't use most of them, there was no point in saying, okay, well, let's write a short article for each one of those. That's too big a commitment on their part.
Uh-huh.
But what if, okay, listen, let's sit down about once a month or every 2 months. You already have your list of ideas. Talk them through with me. Talk through them with me. I will take notes. I will record a conversation. And the first deliverable is just a short one-paragraph abstract for each. And I charge them for each, but here's what it does. It's a low level of commitment on their part. Number two, they're presented in a way that they could now take some of them and give them to their PR firm to pitch, to pitch publications with. So that was the other big benefit. And number three, for me, it just gave me a good starter. So for the ones that we ended up picking that we would turn into something else, then I had something good to start with, something that was fully fleshed out, that that just wasn't a mess.
Mm-hmm. And then you would use that as the starter for like an article or a blog post or some other piece of content.
Exactly.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Exactly. So we would do some of that. At the same time, they would send them to their PR firm. We'd have a call. And then we'd have a discussion about, okay, out of these 10, which ones do they think have legs? Which ones do they feel they can pitch? And so they had a good set of, 10 to work with. We'd narrow it down to maybe 5 or 6, and they would shop it around just to see where they, they could find a home for some of these.
Okay, now what about these product and solution briefs? What were those?
Yeah, in this example, those are they're just really brochures, just a fancy word.
So, are they sales-oriented sales sheets or features and benefits of a particular product?
The product ones, features and benefits. Solution briefs are more solution focused. So, really, more talking benefits, and especially for the business side of the house. Like the business problems it helps address and why, but it wouldn't get into features and benefits, so that was the main difference.
Okay. Well, the reason I'm focusing on the detail here is that when we look over the last couple of lessons that you've shared with us, it's all about how to, really increase your business. Now, one of the strategies that I've chosen is the last couple of times I've done my non-magazine work, I've done a little package of things, and one person bought the package and one did not. They just bought the white paper piece of it. But that's not to say they won't come back after this is a first-time project for me, so they may come back after the white paper's done and say, okay, I do want you to create these blog posts, and I do want to pull a bylined article out of it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one way I'm looking at building a package of things to increase my revenue with individual clients. And then I think I share with you this writer that I found. He's a junior writer, but he's an experienced educator and a trained copywriter. I tried him out on a couple of blog posts, And now for this client that I just sold the white paper to, I'm paying him his rate. Actually, it's double his rate, his posted rate. And but it's still, I priced it high enough so that there's still quite a bit of money in it for me, because I have no idea how much hand-holding he's going to require.
Okay.
But, you know, I've kind of set out what his responsibilities are in this project and what my responsibilities are going to be. And so I hope it goes well. And then if it does go well, the next step for me is to give him his own project to manage from start to finish. So I'm kind of taking the bring on the additional writer piece of advice, and also looking at how I can create larger packages rather than one individual deliverable.
Yeah, I think it's smart. I mean, for the right situations, it certainly beats the one-offs,
mm-hmm.
right? And what we talked about earlier, too, it just helps the client think a little differently. You know, instead of unit pricing, they're thinking about if it puts the focus on solving the problem or on giving them things they could use that add value.
Well, and you know, people always say, you know, I call it the knee-jerk reaction, our budget won't allow that, or we don't have the budget to do that. Well, the fact of the matter is, just as in our own personal budgets, companies will find a way to pay for what they want, mm-hmm. what they think will give them great value. So I think it's really important to kind of move beyond that. You ask for one thing, I'm going to price one thing. You know, to really emphasize, it de-emphasizes price, but kind of speaks to a larger sense of value that a freelancer can offer a company.
And many times they don't ask you for these other things because they hadn't even really thought about that.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So offering them options can often lead to a bigger sale. Because, wow, you know, we're thinking about just this. Like in your example, a white paper. We're thinking about just a white paper, but you're giving us this option that we break it up into blog posts, and you've explained that that's not as easy as just cutting and pasting,
mm-hmm.
right? And we can see why. And then you've offered this, you know, this third item deliverable. And, you know, maybe you present it as two or three different packages, two or three different pricing options. I like to recommend three. Because they hadn't thought of these other things. The other thing it does, by the way, is it anchors your original pricing. So, you know, if the pricing for the one item was $5,000, by offering two packages besides that that are more, it makes your $5,000 price seem low.
Mm-hmm.
And this has been proven over and over again in different studies. So anchoring, when you think about a restaurant, or I like to use an example of restaurants, because like I always order wine at a restaurant, and I'm thinking, okay, my budget tonight for a bottle of wine, let's say between $40 and $50. Well, when I see that almost everything they have is, you know, $80 and up, by the time I'm in the $60 range of the wine list, I'm just grateful. that there's something close to my budget, and I almost always end up spending more than I initially set out to do. And I know that's what they're doing, and I still, I don't want to say fall for it, but I still do that.
Uh-huh.
I still spend more because you've anchored the pricing at a higher level. And I was thinking 40, and now I'm thinking, well, geez, I guess I'll go with like 60 because, you know, these other things, there's just no way.
Mm-hmm.
It's put the focus on the higher, more expensive things. And I think retail stores do this too. Have you ever noticed you walk into like a Dillard's or a Macy's or something, and right there, the first few things they show you are not the items on sale. Aren't they like the new things that are full retail price?
Yeah, that's so true.
Yeah, so you're thinking, I'm going to go get a sweater, and you're thinking $60, and right there they got these brand new sweaters, and they're like, you know, $100. By the time you get to the kind of the $60 table, you know, you're thinking higher already, and you're willing to spend more because you've it's been anchored.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it's a really good way to think about increasing value, whether or not, you know, as you said, whether or not people actually buy the package. It does make them feel like the original item that they wanted is fairly priced.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. You're right. You will do better and you will earn more if you do that. I have no doubt.
Well, I was interested that you what you had to say about adding a second writer or additional writers is you didn't say the road was fraught with peril, but, you know, you did kind of have expressed some reservations about that as a strategy. And, you know, I guess that one way to protect myself from this guy, you know, scoping out my clients for himself is to address that in his contract.
Okay, yeah.
I mean, should I put it there?
I would, yeah. I mean, you want to have an agreement with him that details everything that is important.
Mm-hmm.
Everything from non-disclosure to, you know, dispute resolution, everything
yeah.
like that.
Yeah, I do have the dispute resolution and the non-disclosure, but beyond just general confidentiality, I haven't really addressed, because I haven't had need to address, you know, any kind of a poaching situation.
Yeah,
but I don't want it to happen and then be not be prepared for it.
I think it's best. This is a document that, you know, you always reference when there's a disagreement.
Uh-huh.
People think, oh, it's there, you know, in case you have to sue somebody. Or they no, it's not that. I mean, that rarely happens. It's for when there's some sort of disagreement or misunderstanding. Before you even get to anything severe like that, you can reference your agreement that you both signed and say, if you look at page 2, you know, the third paragraph, you know, we agreed to this thing, Jim. And that usually kind of settles it.
Uh-huh.
You know what? You're right. Yeah, you just, it's really creating, it's the avoidance more than anything else.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he's given me no reason to think that this is even, you know, that he's even thought about this. But I just, you know, I just want to, I mean, it's taken me a long time to build up these relationships in my industry, so I don't want to jeopardize that by expanding my business.
Yeah, no, you're right. Absolutely right.
All right, well, I don't want to hog up any more of the time, Ed. Thank you very much.
Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome. Good stuff. Let's see. Hey, Patricia, you were on.
I just wanted to say I posted a couple of things in the files folder that we had that one ongoing document of recommended contractors and service providers.
Okay.
I added the Kindle cover designer that I used. I was very happy with her. And I also added the draft to digital link so that's on the site. But maybe if there's other resources that people have used for creating contracts or, you know, if they've got a site that they've used for landing pages or whatever, maybe we could post those things that we don't think about that are just, especially where all my tools disappeared. If there's tools that we use that we really love, others may not know about them, so maybe we could take a few minutes to think about if there's stuff that we love and that we use. Can we post them on the recommended contractors and service providers document?
Absolutely. That's exactly what it's for. So as you think of them, I mean, it's the kind of thing, right, most of you might forget, I know I do, to post there. But as you think of it and you think of this, just know that, hey, if you could just take a minute and add that, update that document, that just helps everybody. So, and just for if you're wondering where that is, if you go to the forum and on top of the navigation, go to files, and you'll see a file called Recommended Contractors and Service Providers.
Yep.
You could just, you'll see the existing document there. You can easily update that anytime.
Yep, that's why I added it. Yep. Yeah, I added those two things, the draft digital and the ebook cover, the designer that I use. So, yeah, anybody else, you know, that they can think of other things that they use. If I use this Easy VSL that you recommended earlier, I'll take a try of that, and if I like it, I'll post that as well. I'll kind of post that quickly if it's working for me.
Yeah, you know what? Actually, I'm going to try that too because I got a few of these types of videos to create.
Yeah.
And they're time consuming, so I'll also post feedback there. The other thing will be regarding. Let me go back in here and make sure. Oh, I had mentioned a resource that I'm going to share with you guys. And so, Lisa, to your point about, and I think we've had this conversation before. It's like, you know, ideas for good blog post topics and newsletter article topics. So I just created a resource for my Get Better Clients Academy, which is something some of you guys saw, but as I recommended in the forum, there's no need to subscribe to that right now. You guys have plenty of material here. But I'm going to share it with you guys. For the stuff that I put out there, though, it's a lot easier to just add it to the portal in the bonuses section. So in the next couple of days, Crystal will add that PDF resource. It's like a 27-page PDF. She'll add it to the bonuses section of the student portal. So just know that that'll be there, and it's a good swipe file of ideas. There's 23 different categories of topics, all with examples, so you can see. And, you know, when it comes time to write, you'll have something handy that you can refer to, and just it'll help you come up with some ideas. So just know that that will be up there soon. Okay. Let's see. Any other questions, thoughts, feedback? Going once, going twice. All right. I don't see any other raised hands. Of course, we'll continue the conversation in the forum. And again, guys, I'll get back there later today. And answer any questions that might be. I think there's some pending. But great discussion today. Very encouraged by the progress I'm seeing. You guys you're taking action. And, you know, that's the end of the game, right? It's what even small thing can I do today to advance my progress. You know, I encourage everyone to look at things that you might be putting off. And, you know, as I've said before, and we talked about it today, how can I take one very, very small action? I've been putting this one thing off, you know, whether it's updating my website or starting a knock on doors, whatever. What small action can I do today to get me going? And don't worry about trying to do too much, because that's how things won't get done. So break it down. What one little thing can I do today? You'll feel so good after completing it, especially if you do it first thing in the morning, that you'll be encouraged to keep going. And that's how big things are born. So keep that up, guys. Great stuff. We'll talk again. We'll continue the conversation in the forum. And, I look forward to talking with you guys in the one-on-one calls for the rest of the month. Take care and have a great rest of the day.